close,' Sunny said.
"'That was too close,' Klaus replied. "'Soon this whole district will be full of citizens hunting us down.' "'Well, nobody's hunting us,' Duncan said. "'Isadora and I will walk in front of you so you won't be spotted.'
"'But where can we go?' Isadora asked. "'This vile village is in the middle of nowhere.
"'I helped Hector finish his self-sustaining hot-air mobile home,' Violet said, "'and she promised to have it waiting for us. "'All we have to do is make it to the outskirts of town, and we can escape.
"'And live forever up in the air,' Klaus said, frowning.
"'Maybe it won't be forever,' Violet replied.
"'Scylla,'
Sunny said, which meant, "'It's either the self-sustaining hot-air mobile home or being burned at the stake.' "'When you say it like that,' Klaus said, "'I'm convinced.' Everyone agreed, and Violet looked around the courtyard to see if anyone else had arrived yet. "'In a place as flat as this one,' she said, "'you can see people coming from far away, and we're going to use that to our advantage. "'We'll walk along any empty street we can find, and if we see anyone coming, we'll turn a corner.' We won't be able to get there as the crow flies, but eventually we'll be able to reach Nevermore Tree.
Speaking of the crows, Klaus said to the two triplets, how did you manage to deliver those poems by crow? And how did you know that we would receive them?
Let's get moving, Isadora replied. We'll tell you the whole story as we go along.
The five children got moving. With the Quagmire triplets in the lead, the group of youngsters peered down one street after another until they found one without a sign of anyone coming and hurried out of the courtyard.
"'Olaf smuggled us away in that item from the inn auction with the help of Esme Squalor,' Duncan began, referring to the last time the Baudelaires had seen him and his sister. "'And he hid us for a while in the tower room of his terrible house.'
Violet shuddered.
"'I haven't thought of that room in quite some time,' she said. "'It's hard to believe that we used to live with such a vile man.'
Klaus pointed to the distant figure who was walking toward them, and the five children turned onto another empty street.
"'This street doesn't lead to Hector's house,' he said. "'But we'll try to double back. Go on, Duncan.'
"'Olaf learned that you three would be living with Hector at the outskirts of this town,' Duncan continued, "'and he had his associates build that hideous fountain.'
Then he placed us inside, Isadora said, and had us installed in the uptown courtyard so he could keep an eye on us while he tried to hunt you down. We knew that you were our only chance of escaping.
The children reached a corner and stopped, while Duncan peeked around it to make sure no one was approaching. He signaled that it was safe and continued the story.
We needed to send you a message, but we were afraid it would fall into the wrong hands. Isadora had the idea of writing in couplets, with our location hidden in the first letter of each line.
And Duncan figured out how to get them to Hector's house, Isadora said.
He'd done some research about migration patterns in large black birds, so he knew that the crows would roost every night in Nevermore Tree, right next to Hector's house. Every morning I would write a couplet, and the two of us would reach up through the fountain's beak.
There was always a crow roosting on the very top of the fountain, Duncan said, so he would wrap the scrap of paper around its leg. The paper was all wet from the fountain, so it would stick easily.
And Duncan's research was absolutely right. The paper dried off and fell at night,
Isadora recited.
That was a risky plan, Violet said.
No riskier than breaking out of jail and putting your lives in danger to rescue us, Duncan said, and looked at the Baudelaires in gratitude.
You saved our lives, again.
We wouldn't leave you behind, Klaus said. We refuse to entertain the notion.
Isadora smiled and patted Klaus's hand.
Meanwhile, she said, while we were trying to contact you, Olaf hatched a plan to steal your fortune and get rid of an old enemy at the same time.
"'You mean Jacques,' Violet said. "'When we saw him with the Council of Elders, he was trying to tell us something. "'Why does he have the same tattoo as Olaf? Who is he?'
"'His full name,' Duncan said, flipping through his notebook, "'is Jacques Snicket.'
"'That sounds familiar,' Violet said.
"'I'm not surprised,' Duncan said. "'Jacques Snicket is the brother of a man who—'
"'There they are!'
a voice cried. And in an instant, the children realized they had neglected to look in back of them, as well as in front of them and around each corner. About two blocks behind them was Mr. Lesko, leading a small group of torch-carrying citizens straight up the street. The day was getting later, and the torches left long, skinny shadows on the sidewalk, as if the mob were being led by slithering black serpents, instead of a man in plaid pants.